Welcome to Tart Club. Turgid Tomes is a wanton book club where we get together every other Wednesday to eat, drink, and discuss the latest romantical read. If you happened upon this podcast and don't like the F word, or boners, now's your chance to GTFO. This is your official explicit content warning. This podcast is highly inappropriate and listener discretion is advised.
I'm just, you know, I'm in the rot phase.
Fairly busy rotting right now. Yeah, can you call back later?
I'm like halfway through the rot, so no.
Listen, I have rot on my schedule for the next 3 weeks. Can you call back? Like, let's connect. Let's circle back after those 3 weeks. Let's circle back.
I'm busy rotting, guys. No can do.
Sorry, my phone is on do not disturb because I'm rotting. I'm very busy.
Greetings, fellow tarts. Ashley here, head hussy in charge. And we've made it to the last theme of season 3. And we'll be chatting about pen pals, starting with This Is How You Lose the Time War by Amal El-Motar and Max Gladstone. Elena, hello.
Hey, girl, hey, what is up? We haven't just been talking for an hour. How's it going?
Nope. Not moody, broody, attitude-y at all.
Not even in the slightest.
Well, oh, you know what? We should do a little update in case anyone was wondering. Not that any of you were, I know. Hey, remember my friend Todd, that little fibroid in my uterus? Yeah, well, he has a twin and her name is Tina. So that's where I'm at.
Todd and Tina sharing an apartment.
Yeah, in my uterus. It's fine. It's great. Just throwing ragers. Love it. Just living my life. With Todd and Tina.
I love the idea of them raving with like glow sticks and pacifiers.
I'm the pacifier. But yeah, that was a little jump scare. 2024 is really not having a good start.
The world is a simulation.
It's like we're in a Sims game and they're just fucking with us. Yeah. Like they're taking the ladders out of the pools.
Yeah, we need to get out of this pool. Let us out.
Oh my God.
What is happening?
But that's okay, because we are here, we're recording. Guys, we did a book that's less than 24 hours long.
Wild. Also, today, when this podcast is released, is my birthday.
Is it?
March 13th, baby.
Oh my gosh.
That's me. That's my birthday. Are you a Taurus?
Come on now, Elena. You know my ass is Aquarius. Hey, I am a weirdo. What of it? Is it because I'm an Aquarius or is it because of trauma? Who knows?
It's because it's more fun to be a weirdo. Oh. Buckle in.
Okay. I'm waiting. I'm preparing myself for a jump scare.
There are no jump scares.
What else do I need? What other things do I need to add to my 2024 bingo card? Because I've already had to add a few that I wasn't ready for.
Nothing from me. Nothing at all. I am your safe space. Just don't even worry about the other stuff.
Moving on past our moody, broody attitudiness, let's get into drinks. Elena, what drink did you pick to go with this book?
Well, I've been sipping on it for about an hour and 18 minutes now.
Yeah.
but I was like, listen, we have red, we have blue, purple. So I decided to do a purple alcohol drink. And yes, that's what it's called. Purple alcohol drink.
I love it.
It is vodka, off-brand Sprite, and purple Kool-Aid.
Ooh.
It is weird, and I love it.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound bad at all. What do you mean?
No. It's almost like a spritzer, kind of, because of the Sprite.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about you? What are you drinking on?
So, listening through, there were different points in time in the story where they talked about things they were drinking or eating. There was tea, there are different kinds of berries and whatnot, but I specifically remember blueberries. So what better to drink? And you can go the tea route too, but I went with blueberry wine.
Tasty.
There is a brand called Island Grove. They're in Florida. Uh-huh. And they do a really nice blueberry wine and they give you options of sweetness level. It's dry. I think it's dry. It's either not sweet or dry, sort of sweet, and then sweet. And right there in the middle, that sort of sweet. That's the one for me. It's really, really good.
In keeping with the blueberry theme,
Mm-hmm.
just have some fresh blueberries for the snack, blueberry wine, blueberry, just blueberry yourself out.
Blueberry scone.
Ooh, that would
That'd be
be
really
good.
good.
Oh, that would be good. Blueberry bread, like blueberry banana bread.
Ooh.
Oh,
Blueberry muffins. Yeah.
yes,
Blueberry
that one's
waffles.
good.
So many
Oh, I
things.
like blueberry waffles. Yeah, blueberry anything, just blueberries, blueberry everything. Drinks, snacks, just you'll turn into like it's like that girl in Willy Wonka. She turns into a giant blueberry.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
The
I
hell is
love
her
it.
name? The Blueberry Girl.
The
Hang
brat.
on. Hang on. Wonka Blueberry Bitch. Wonka Blueberry Bitch is my new band name. Band name called it? Question mark? I don't know.
Oh my God. Wonka
Wonka Blue. What's up, everybody? We're Wonka Blueberry Bitch. So happy to be here. You ready to rock?
You just hear like the Ric Flairs in the audience. Woo!
Yeah.
Let's
Out of control. Let's move on.
talk a little bit about the authors. Amal El-Matar is a Canadian poet and writer of speculative fiction. She has published short fiction, poetry, essays, and reviews, and has edited the fantastic poetry quarterly magazine Goblin Fruit since 2006. Max Gladstone is the author of The Craft Sequence, Three Parts Dead, Two Serpents Rise, Full Fathom Five, and most recently, Last First Snow. I think it's like a serial something or other.
Okay.
He's been twice nominated for the John W. Campbell Best New Writer Award and nominated for the XYZZY, I'm sure that's like a word, but I'm just gonna spell it, and Lambda Awards. Max has taught in Southern Anhui, wrecked a bicycle in Cambodia, and been thrown from a horse in Mongolia. Max graduated from Yale University, where he studied Chinese. Interesting tidbit. Okay, so there are two authors for this. Amal was blue, and Max was Red. So
Okay.
they wrote these characters themselves separately because it was epistolary. So they didn't share characters. So they each had their own character to write back and forth to each other. I thought that was really cool. All right.
Yeah, I mean that's cool. It does explain some questions I have.
Whoa. Before we get into this book report, speaking of pen pals, Elena, you told me you actually had a pen pal before.
I did. I don't know if you remember those magazines from when we were kids, but there was like Teen Beat and, probably a bunch of others that I can't remember right now, but they were like little trashy magazines for little girls that
Yeah.
had pictures of Jonathan Taylor
Oh,
Thomas, I
yeah.
mean Devon Sawa, the whole lineup. But in the back there was this little page that said, "Oh, would you like to sign up and get a pen pal?" And they just assign you a pen pal. Someone you don't know, you've never met, just someone else who signed up for it too. And I signed up and I had a pen pal named Amy.
My God.
And yeah, and we wrote back and forth tons and tons, probably around the age of, I want to say like 11, 12, maybe
Wow.
ish. Yeah, wrote back and forth. And then eventually, we just kind of stopped. I don't know if there was ever like a goodbye. I think it was just kind of like life happens and you stop writing. And
Yeah.
then in 2009 or 10, I get a friend request on Facebook from my pen pal from when I was
My
a
God.
child, and we reconnected again. Her name is Amy. She's wonderful, and she visited my state, like our state, a few years ago after that, and was like, "Hey, I'm gonna be coming through. Let's meet and have lunch." We had lunch together. Like, she's
Oh
so
my
sweet and
God.
awesome. Yeah, and so just a childhood randomly assigned pen pal from the back of a magazine, and it's a lifelong friendship now. So
That is
pretty
so
cool.
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty adorable. I mean, when she added me, like my brain exploded. I was like, oh, it's Amy. I can't believe this. This is so wild. So, yeah,
My God, that's so cool.
that's my little pen pal story, but super cute. And I think I
Aww.
still have like a picture of like a school photo of her somewhere from like when we sent each other our own school photos.
Oh my God.
Thankfully, we were both actual little girls.
Yeah, I was just thinking
It
about it and I was like,
wasn't
these days, you probably couldn't do that.
Right. Yeah, definitely not. I mean, there's even that like MFM animated
Yeah.
about like you're probably writing someone in prison. But no, we
Yeah.
were two young girls of our actual ages and we were friends and we still are. And it's pretty cool. It worked out.
That's the wholesome stuff we like to hear.
So wholesome. I bring
Okay.
it.
So that's what
Everything.
Elaine is known for.
I'm known for being super wholesome and
Yes.
clean. I never swear and I never fucking do anything that anyone would
No.
fucking not want me to do.
You never talk about dicks. Never.
No, I never talk about my highly praised and popular podcast, Only Dicks. Even remember if that's the name. Oh, Only Wieners. It was Only
Only
Wieners. I'm really known mostly for my Only Wieners podcast. That's it, number one on all the charts. And just
Yeah.
I don't want to brag, but I do have quite a few followers. So,
The joke that never ends.
never. Sorry, guys, I won't do that again.
Which means we're going to do it like five more times before this episode's over.
Yeah. Taylor's like yelled at me from it was only wieners. Like, okay,
Only Wieners.
thank you. My
Well, that's
memory
the
is not good.
co-host of Only Wieners.
It's actually called Only One Wiener now, and he's the co-host and he brings it.
Only one wiener.
Yeah.
Oh.
A single wiener.
We need to be stopped. Elena, how would you summarize this book?
Well, I'm known for my extremely in-depth summaries of all the books that we read. So this one's going to come as no shock to you, as it is very long and overwhelming. Here
Yes.
goes. Two soldiers from opposing factions in the future somehow meet and fall in love through letters left throughout space and time. That's it. That's
That's it.
it. That's all I
I
got.
mean, it's pretty accurate,
Yeah, what about you? You have something better? I bet you do. I bet it's better
yeah.
than that shit.
It's pretty much the same,
Okay.
actually. Red and Blue are agents on opposing sides of a war taking place through time. After the two strike up an unlikely correspondence, they eventually fall for one another.
Hell yeah. Get it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's the story. Goodbye.
Goodbye. That's it. So this was the short. I think this was the shortest book. It's a novella, so this is the shortest reading material I think we've had, which is so ironic that Elena and I are doing it because you know how we love super long fucking books, like Outlander and A Discovery of Witches,
Huh?
that
We
are over
do.
24 hours long as audiobooks. You know.
Some of us like to rock out for a really long time with our reading material, okay? Give me more. All right. A
Yeah.
wise woman once said, give me more, give me more, give me, give me
It's
more.
Britney,
It sure fucking is.
were there any quotes you liked in this book?
So I found a few. Let's just jump right in. The first one's the longest, and then the second and third are a little shorter.
Okay.
We'll just go with it. So the first one is from the perspective of Blue. I have been birds and branches. I have been bees and wolves. I have been ether flooding the void between stars, tangling their breath into networks of song. I have been fish and plankton and hummus, and all of these have been me. But while I've been enmeshed in this wholeness, they're not the whole of me. Next one. And in your absence, you are deadly as a blade, lacking letters, lacking the tremors in your footsteps through time. I seek out your memories. And that one's red. And then last one is red may be mad, but to die for madness is to die for something. I just liked that.
Very deep.
Hashtag deep.
This book was so deep. I drowned.
I'm currently dead.
I'm dead. I'm recording this from the afterlife. I did not keep track. I went on, since I listened to this and I don't have a physical copy, I just went on Goodreads and kind of browsed through quotes and I jotted some down while I was listening, but I forgot to write who said what. So one of the quotes is, "And everyone is alive somewhere in time," which I thought was really cool
That
to
is
think
cool.
about. It's like, oh, okay. And then perhaps survival is its own form of torture.
Amen.
We were just discussing this earlier.
Yeah, knowledge is torture.
Yes.
Ignorance is bliss.
Fortunately, geniuses understand that young men are often fools. Books are letters in bottles cast into the waves of time from one person trying to save the world to another. So that was pretty cool. I was like, all
I
right,
like
that's
that.
kind of cool. Because that's kind of, in a way, they were on different sides, they're on different factions, but each of their factions was trying to like get one over on the other. But it's like, so are you really trying to save the world?
It reminds me of On Our Flag Means Death, where he's writing letters in bottles
Yeah.
and throwing them, and then eventually he finds one of them and he's like, "You wrote me a lovely letter." I just love that so much.
Right? That's pretty much this whole book. That's what this book is.
Yeah, so, this whole book.
And then this is after their relationship. Like, they catch feelings and they really start getting more involved in the relationship.
They somehow catch feelings. Uh huh.
They catch feelings via letters.
Yeah.
Which the whole vehicle of the letters is, we'll talk on that. Uh-huh. I have built a you within me, or you have. I wonder what of me there is in you.
Mm-hmm.
This one I really liked. This is just so romantic. Such a romantical line here. I'll be all the poets. I'll kill them all and take each one's place in turn. And every time love's written in all the strands, it will be to you.
That's romantic.
It was very romantic. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. wow. Romance.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Seeing as though they've never held hands, never touched, never looked into each other's eyes, never anything. Text messages.
Pretty much. But that's the thing. Like, a lot of people are more mental mm-hmm. than physical touch.
My issue isn't really that they've never, you know, met in person. My issue is more that it happened so fast. It went from like, yeah. we are enemies to now we're into each other. Like, so quickly.
That's what I thought. But then I realized these letters they're writing, it's not like they're writing each other constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, there were years, sometimes mm-hmm. years passed between their correspondence. Mm-hmm. So they had all that time to sit there and dwell and think about them. And you know how, like, you mm-hmm. know, you have a crush on someone and you just think about them all the time, or like kind of romanticize them in your head. But it is such a short book that it doesn't really feel like that. Like, even yeah. though it says, hey, sorry, this letter took 5 years to get to you. For you, mm-hmm. it was 5 minutes.
Right. I get being able to share your heart via words. I get that. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just how quickly. That was shocking to me. It's like, okay, this seems very fast. I just feel like if the novel had been a normal novel instead of like a novella, maybe that would have not been so jarring for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think it's the time travel too. They're literally all over time. So you're just kind of like, wait, what? Wait, when did yeah. we, when was the switch?
Right.
So kind of exactly. like, yeah, because so I was listening and the letters, there is a shift, but you're right. It does seem abrupt. You're like, oh, okay, and we're in it now.
Yeah. The lack of dialogue to me was a killer. Like, I need dialogue to me is the most important part of books.
Mm-hmm.
I need dialogue. And the fact that dialogue was only one-sided letters was rough, in my opinion. It was difficult for me. It's like, this yeah. isn't really inspiring any emotion to me. Like, it should be perhaps, but it's like, I need them to physically talk to each other in some back and forth. It doesn't even have to be physical, technically. It could be just back and forth, whatever. But I don't know. It's fine. I don't have to like everything. It's fine.
Listen, I absolutely shit all over The Discovery of Witches.
Yeah.
It's fine. We're not always going to agree. Like, it's fine.
No, we don't always have to agree. But also, I do feel like when I've had some sort of strong feeling towards a book, you've had the opposite feeling frequently.
Well, everyone's so different.
We're like, just so different when it comes to books. Yeah.
Everything gets filtered through your own life experience, which is different than many others. So of course you're going to have different thoughts and feelings.
Right.
And that's fine. And it doesn't have to be ugly. It is okay to disagree on things.
Sure.
Like, there have been plenty of books that I've loved, and the guest has given it like 2 stars. I gave it like 4 or 5. They gave it 2.
Buckle
and it's
up.
Like, yeah, it's like, cool. Like, who, you know, who cares? Like, uh-huh. we're just here to hang out and talk about books and have a good time.
Yeah. I feel like everything that I, any strength that I have is in some way connected to my emotions, which mm-hmm. I have recently realized after, almost 37 years of life, everything that I am good at is connected to my emotions. So when I get a book like this and it feels so robotic and matter of fact, and you're describing what you're seeing and you're not feeling anything, you're not talking about mm-hmm. the way anything makes you feel really, it to me is so difficult for me to wrap my head around, and it's so difficult for me to stay focused on.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I can't relate to it. So that's where I was at with this book.
That makes sense.
Couldn't connect to Red at all until basically the end of the book.
Okay, same.
Yeah. So I was just like, I could connect a little bit more to Blue because she was more like sassy and a little bit more playful and more into yeah. nature, that sort of thing. Like, I get that. But with Red, I could not connect with her at all until the very, very end.
Yeah, it was just like, okay then. Now, after we've discussed how much Elena does not like this book. No, I'm just kidding.
You're not wrong.
No. What was your favorite part?
Well, I wanted to do least favorite first. Can I just do least favorite first?
Yeah.
Can you just flip it around for me this
do
one time?
It.
Because it makes more sense when I read the least and then the favorite.
Yeah, let's go.
My least favorite part is when Blue dies because of the note that Red sends, basically.
Yes.
It's kind of confusing, but it's like she doesn't want her to take it or whatever, but she still does to cover Red, for Red.
Yeah. Red tries to tip Blue off mm-hmm. because the Commandant, her boss, Red's boss, is like, mm-hmm. hey, gotta take her out. Here's right. how we're gonna trick her. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, you know, the poison blueberries or whatever. Red did tip off Blue. Blue mm-hmm. figured it out. Mm-hmm. And then was making comments like, oh, I can just see them making her write this pedestrian letter. Right. So then Blue just kind of had this attitude of like, all right, fine. Because if I don't eat this shit, they're going to know. They're going to know she knows that I know that she knows that I know. You know, Everybody something knows. Like that. And then Blue's like, okay, well, I mean, I guess if I'm going to go out, I'll go out protecting Red. And Red mm-hmm. was trying to protect Blue. Blue was trying to protect Red. Blue got the short end of the stick and bit the dust.
Right.
Or the poisoned berry, so to speak.
The poison pill / berry. Yeah.
That's what I thought was happening. But again, like, I listened to this and I don't have the best attention span.
It's just so convoluted. If you had yeah. a great attention span, it would not have made a difference. It's like, I could not connect with these characters. I just couldn't. And it was so hard. I was like, why? Yeah. It made me feel kind of stupid because I was just like, I know that I should understand exactly what's happening, but it's just so hard for me to connect. I instantly like glaze over and just like my attention span goes away. Like anything I can attach myself to that is yeah. not this like matter of fact, okay, I'm on this strand and I am a robot. And that, like, it was just so robotic to me that I was like, I yeah. can't, I can't with this. Anyway, yeah. so that was my feeling. But what is your least favorite part?
So at times it was hard for me to differentiate between narrators, between Agreed. Red and Blue. Uh-huh. There were moments where I'd have to skip back to figure out like, wait, who's talking here? I think it's Blue, but it could be Red. I don't know. Let me double check. So mm-hmm. it was a tad bit confusing. And then obviously the prose got a little purpley, little lilac there at moments, at times. And you're just kind of like, okay, we get it. You're poetic.
I mean, I didn't mind the floweriness, the florality, if you
like,
will,
overall,
this word I'm
no.
inventing.
Overall, no, but there were certain moments and it's like... Okay.
I didn't mind anything in the letters. The letters were the best part, honestly. What I didn't like was how when you're jumping through time and jumping through space and you're just always a different place and now I look like this and now I'm doing this and this person's now dead and oh, I ripped open a fish and there's a letter in the fish. Like, just, it's ridiculousness. I'm like, I don't understand what is going on right now. Like, I can't picture any of this. Like, normally I can picture what's happening in a book. This book felt so foreign and strange to me. I didn't get it. I just didn't, like, I got it, but I didn't get it, you know? Like, my soul didn't get it. I didn't connect to it.
No, it makes perfect sense. Like, I could totally see that. If I had read this, I don't think I'd have as much of a problem understanding, like, what happened, because I would have sat down, been forced to really pay attention. All right, we're going to backtrack now. All right, now that we've gotten all that out.
So now my favorite part is when she is saved via... Mm-hmm. Red going back through time and space, inoculating her with the poison, saving her when she's, I guess, in a pod of some kind, like a mm-hmm. developmental pod.
Yeah.
That was cool. That made the book get any rating at all from me that wasn't zero.
All right. I like it.
I'm sorry.
There's because nothing to be
I don't,
sorry about.
I don't normally hate books. And it's not that I hated it, but I was very close to the hatred. But what about you? What was your favorite part?
The correspondence, the letters, obviously, uh-huh. all the different snippets of the different threads in time, in happening in the background were pretty cool. Like, there was, so basically Blue and Red, they're with different factions, and what the factions are doing, they're warring with each other over time so that one of them will come out on top.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they want a better outcome for themselves. Mm-hmm. So they're not really in it to save everyone in all these threads. They're in it to save themselves and their faction.
Right.
Which in and of itself is like, oh, it's kind of shitty.
It's very end game. It's very like, we care about the big picture only. We don't care about all these people that are dying in Atlantis. That part was cool. The Atlantis part was cool, I will say.
So it was really interesting because in these different threads and timelines, they're not always human. Like you said, like I'm hummus, I'm bird, I'm seeds. You know, they were, it was so interesting that they didn't have bodies every time. Like they were objects sometimes. That was always interesting. But also, they would talk about their missions that they were on in these different threads. There was one where Blue was married to a guy and she was supposed to basically be his muse, I think, to get him to do something that would alter history. There was another where it's like, oh, I have to make sure this woman leaves at a certain time for work and then she'll miss this and this will happen and it alters history. And one of them, I believe it was Red, had to let these astronauts die in a blaze and she cried about it. She was really upset about it, but it's for the big picture. So there are all these really different little interesting tidbits around. But you brought up Atlantis, which is funny because my favorite part of this book was just everyone shitting on Atlantis. So
Why?
it was so funny. It was just hilarious to me. I was like, come on, man. Like, leave Atlantis alone. They're innovative, they're creative. Blue and Red are just like, oh, Atlantis. Oh, I'm stuck in another Atlantis thread. Atlantis sucks. And I think one of the quotes was, Atlantis sinks, serves it right. And you're just like, oh my
Fuckers.
God, why does everyone hate
Ugh.
Atlantis?
That's like saying the Library of Alexandria burned, served it right. Like, no.
It was so funny. It's like,
Huge,
it
horrible
kind of
situation.
seemed like everyone thought Atlantis was super pretentious and they were annoyed by it, is almost what it came off as. And it just made me laugh. I'm like, dude, it's Atlantis. Like they're doing stuff. They're making stuff happen. Why are you being weird about it?
I don't think what they think is pretentious. So I don't know. I feel like the book itself was pretentious.
Yeah, well, I was
What
gonna
do I
say you
think
could argue
Atlantis
the book
was?
itself is pretentious.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite were the quotes from the prophets.
Yes.
Absolutely
They
ridiculous.
made me laugh very hard, actually.
Yes, the sign-offs too, and the letters like blue dabadi. Come
Yeah, that
on,
was funny.
throwing it back. They'd be writing these letters to each other, and they're like, "As the prophets say," and it would just be some ridiculous shit. So I wrote a few down. As the prophets say, our future shines so bright. I gotta wear shades. Like,
Yeah. And it just comes out of nowhere too, because it's like, I am a bridge, I am falling, da da da. But as the prophet said, like it's like, what? Tripping on mushrooms when they wrote this book. Like, I
I know
don't.
it was hilarious. So then another one is, ain't no mountain high enough, as the prophets say. I'm like, what? Like you said, it'd be so serious and eloquent and loquacious. And then it would get to towards the end before the sign off, it's like, well, as the prophets say, blah, 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 blah. And they just throw in some
Baby got
basic,
back.
like, you're like, wait, what?
As the prophet said, back that ass up.
Yes, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what is happening? Who are these prophets? Are they millennials?
We are the prophets.
It's us. Millennials are the prophets. God have mercy on all your souls if you believe in that. Who knows? So, yes, the overall theme and everything of this book was very serious and elegant and romantic. And then it just threw in these moments of absolute absurdity. As the prophets say, what's a good one?
Baby, hit me one more time.
Baby, hit me one more time. There we go. Perfect. That's it. That's the prophet line there. It's Britney, bitch. You know what? I am now mad that they did not include a prophet line with Britney.
I know. That would have been good.
Least favorite part, adding it. How dare you?
What the fuck moment? To me, this entire book was a what the fuck moment. What the fuck? End of what the fuck moment.
I can see that. That makes sense.
Me just, what in the goddamn hell am I listening to?
Yeah.
Jesus. So yes, the entire book was a giant flaming what the fuck for me. What about
Yeah.
for you?
So my what the fuck moment is actually that I really appreciated the twist of Red being the seeker all along. When that happened, I was like, oh, I like that. You got me. I didn't see it coming. I guess we should explain. So these letters that they're sending each other, it's not like pieces of paper.
Exactly. It's what the fuck.
It's like, how do you even explain it? Okay, so they're like writing them on like a fish or a lot of animals, which made me feel bad. It's like, can we leave the animals alone, please?
Agreed. I think there was on China, on like fancy
Yeah.
China.
Oh yeah, tea. I think, was it tea leaves?
Maybe
Was
that.
it? It might have been like tea leaves. There's a message in the tea leaves. Like on animal carcasses.
Yes. The animal carcasses were a lot.
There were a lot of animal carcasses, which I did not appreciate. There's just some really interesting, like, I guess you'd say vehicles for the words, for the letters to make it to each other. It wasn't like
Yeah.
basic, just pen and paper. That was very interesting. Basically, what would happen is that the vehicle, it would make it to one or the other. They'd get the letter out of it, and then a seeker kept getting brought up, like at the end. And I don't know if it's unbeknownst to them. I think it is. So for most of the book, they don't know about the seeker. The seeker, we hear about it. The seeker comes in after they read their missive and toss it, and the seeker eats it. As the book goes on, this happens every time. And then Red starts to talk about a shadow and asks Blue, hey, do you have a shadow? And Red thinks that it's the Commandant, like it's someone in her faction that's onto them and is now spying on her to catch her. So when you get to the very end of the book, it turns out that when the Commandant made Red poison Blue, and Blue did it to save Red, which is just one of those melodramatic, like, no, take me, and then no, but
Yeah,
take
take me
me. Like it was,
instead.
yeah, it's very melodramatic, but it was also very fucking sad.
It was, yeah.
Because Red shows up and Blue's dead, and Red's like, oh my God, you weren't actually supposed to do this. Why the fuck did you do this? And
So
kind
you
of,
wouldn't get caught, basically,
yeah. And then Red kind of gave themselves away anyway
yeah.
because they went in there and like sobbed about it because they were just so heartbroken, which is like, oh God, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But
Ugh.
so all of that happens. And after that, Red is like, you know what? My life has no meaning anymore. So fuck the factions, fuck everybody else. I'm gonna try to get Blue back. Red infiltrates the garden, which is the Blue faction, and finds, like you said, like this weird little
Pod.
this pod. I don't quite recall how it works, but basically, Red goes back through time first, I think, and eats all the missives, all the letters. That's when you realize Red is the seeker, and she is the one that has gone back in time. Or I shouldn't say back, I should say throughout. She goes throughout all the threads that they've written to each other and has eaten all their letters and comes back to the present, infiltrates the garden, which is the Blue faction's area, and then finds Blue, or not in the present, she's in the past, I think.
Yeah,
See,
because
it's very confusing.
she's
Yeah.
growing in the pod prior to them ever having met, before she was a soldier, essentially. So she
Yes.
inoculates her in the pod.
Yes. So then she gets inoculated, and then I think she takes her into herself or something, and then she sprouts. Like it kind of made it seem. See, it's very like it's a lot. There's a lot
It
in
was a
this book.
lot.
So you just kind of get the gist. You're like, okay, I get the gist. Cool, let's move on. You're just kind of like, all
Yeah.
right, I'm not gonna dwell on it. That's kind of weird, but okay, let's move it on. So basically, I think Red like inoculates Blue, takes Blue into herself somehow, allows her to regenerate or just spawn. I don't know like the word for it, but then Blue is back. So then Red gets caught, obviously, and you're just like, damn it, like
Of
after all
course,
that.
yeah.
So Red gets caught, the garden takes Red prisoner, they keep her in jail, they're gonna execute her. At the very end of the book, a guard shows up and like gives her a letter, and it's Blue, and Blue's giving her time to get out. And basically they run off, they just time travel into like a bajillion sunsets, past, present, and future, and
Every
it's
thread
all
sunset.
every thread sunset, and it's beautiful. That's kind of like the synopsis I just did. But no, so in order to like get my what the fuck moment, that's what ends up happening. Like you're going through the book and there's the seeker, and you're thinking, like Red's thinking, oh shit, they're onto him, they're gonna catch him. The seeker's like collecting all this evidence and they're gonna turn it in. Oh damn. But it turns out it's Red trying to save Blue. And you're like, oh.
Tender moments with Blue and Red. Yeah. No, I agree.
That when that happened, I really, that's when I was like, oh my God, I love that. That's so good. I would have never thought of that. That is so good.
It was really good. That element of it. But that's what I said. I only liked it at the very end.
Yeah, like it like grows on you like fungus, you know?
I do feel like this is a book you have to read more than once.
Yes. Red flags.
We have to say the elephant in the room, which is that their enemy is working for opposing factions.
Yes.
That's the red flag there. It's like this person could have been, I mean, we know obviously that they were earnest and genuine and whatever, but like they could have very easily have been a secret agent trying to take. One of them could have been a secret agent, or both could have been. So yeah, red flag. They're a part of your opposing faction. Yeah. That's it. That's the one red flag.
That's pretty much what the commandant was saying to Red. Yeah. Like, oh, well, Blue's just tricking you to take you out, which it's and like very well could be true.
Yeah. Logically, that could have been the case. It wasn't, but it could have been. So solid argument, in my opinion. What do you think about red flags? Which ones did you point out? Yeah.
Same. You're on opposing sides, but also jokes about poisoning you.
Yeah.
That happened a few times. And it was, I think they were recommending things to try.
Mm-hmm. Say they said to try, try this delicious tea from Madagascar, you know, they give it to them and then, I went into that time strand and poisoned it right before you tried it. Like it could have been anything.
Yeah.
You know,
there were lots of poisoning jokes, which ironically is what took Blue out.
Yeah. Foreshadowing much. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Is there something to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
I have no idea because this book confused the hell out of me.
That is a common sentiment that among is my, the reviews. You are not alone.
Alone, confused, adrift. All of those words.
Yes.
But what about you? Did you learn anything that applies to daily life, do you think? Or
yeah, just to confusion? Live it.
Yeah.
Just live your life, because that was kind of the whole point of the book. You know, they're doing these things for their factions. There isn't really a lot of emotion to it. They're just kind of like machines.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak, and then they finally have something of their own to live for, but they just keep going about their business, their missions, but they're not as into it anymore, and they'd rather be with each other, but they can't. And then by the end of it, they're like, life's not worth living if you're not in it with me, so let's just be together and on the run. Who cares? Like, fuck this war, I don't care. So they take off together, and there are I think there are a couple quotes within the story where Red is just very disconnected from her own feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Like how you said, robotic, mechanical. That's Red in the beginning. But like, as the book goes on, you can see Red, you're being told Red is feeling more and emotions. And like in these letters, Red's admitting their emotions to Blue. And it's like, once Red starts feeling emotions, she is just like, bleh, there they are.
Word vomit.
Word vomit. I love you. Bleh, there we go.
Yeah.
There is a quote where like at one point, it's either Red or Blue. Something happens. They have to like kill a mass of people for the greater good, allegedly. And there's a quote of like, wow, all these people, they're not living their lives at all. And now it's done. And da, da, da. So there's lots of comments on just living your life for yourself and just not worrying about the things that really aren't going to matter in the end.
Yeah. No, I think that's solid advice for any book, for any person.
Yeah. Yes.
Just live your life. Also, rot on a couch.
Rot.
Big rot energy.
Hashtag rot. Energy 24/7.
Yes.
I don't know what you think I plan on doing after this.
Oh, my makeup's coming off immediately and I'm rotting. Yeah.
Rotting. Like next to me, like, oh, are you gonna make us you thought I was gonna cook? Nay, nay. I'm going right on that couch and I'm gonna rot.
Yep.
The moment Elena has been waiting for.
It's true.
Do you have a spicy snippet you'd like to share about this book?
Sure, I'll read you my review, because that, I think, my review plus this other person's review encapsulates how I feel entirely. Yes. So first I'll read mine. I love time travel and alternate universes as concepts, But boy, oh boy, was I confused for most of this book. The writing was often beautiful, but the plot seemed incredibly scrambled and hard to picture. That's it.
Yeah.
So that's how I felt. That's my snippet. And then here's the Goodreads review. The person who wrote this review, their name is Kat. Their username is Paperback Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And their review really encapsulated my feelings towards this book. This book has some truly gorgeous words, and the yearning between red and blue is on point. But sci-fi and my brain are like oil and water, and I was confusion for most of the story. 10 out of 10, that's how I rate that review.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. Good fucking God.
Yeah. It was all over the place. You're just like, wait, where are we? When are we?
Truly. Truly. And my additional snippet, because this is my longest answer, is it reminded me of a scene from The Office. And I don't know if you're an Office fan.
Never okay. watched it.
Well, is there any way I can send you a link and you can just see this one 34 second clip? Because yeah. it's pretty important to me. And it just is how I felt this entire book. So I assume that you can't keep the clip in.
No, but yeah,
so
okay.
I've written what it says. So I can read
perfect.
It.
Okay, like. Okay. Yeah, so I can't obviously, like, I can't use the clip, but.
Right. But here's the quote. It's Michael Scott. Little girl in a field holding a flower. We zoom back to find that she's in the desert and the field is an oasis. Zoom back further. The desert is a sandbox in the world's largest resort hotel. Zoom back further. The hotel is actually the playground of the world's largest prison. This whole book yes. was like that to me. Just like, what in the fuck?
Yeah, you just kept zooming out, like, each yeah. chapter. Zoom out more.
Zoom out. Zoom You're out on a more. Different thread, and now this is happening. Like, it's just, what in the hell?
So that's I like it.
My spicy snippet. What I about like yours?
Leave Atlantis alone. Okay? Like, while I did find it hilarious that everyone was completely shitting on it, but, you know, it's like, it's not serious, but I was just like, hey, all right.
We get it.
Leave Atlantis alone. They seemed very innovative and creative, and, you know, they're all over the place. They're like, all right, let's do this. Let's try this. Let's, oh yeah, one of them had flying cars, and it's like, what's wrong with flying cars? Yeah. Would I want to be in one? Probably not, but hey, innovative.
Yeah, teleportation device is what I need.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Moving on to the speed round. Who would you want to be besties with and why?
I mean, there weren't a lot of options. Maybe someone living in Atlantis. No, I think Blue probably, because I connected with her more. She's kind of hippie-ish. She's kind of natural. I'd say Blue. And she's also sassy, a little bit quirkier.
Yeah.
So I'd say Blue. Yeah. What about you?
I think I just put both Red and Blue, go out for tea. Literally and figuratively, like, you know what I mean? Like, yes. I don't know, let's do it. Who do you want to throat punch and why?
Commandant. I mean, yeah. just the whole idea of Commandant just punched into the throat. I mean, that's the villain. I don't know. Yeah. I literally wrote, I don't know, girl. I don't know, girl. She's the villain. They're the villain. The whole company
yeah.
that Red is under. Yeah, all of them throat punch. What about you?
Both faction leaders. Mm-hmm. Just very rude. Very rude.
Very rude. Okay. Keeping our characters apart.
Just getting in the way of the romance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who would you want on your side in a fight and why?
Well, like your last answer, mine is pretty much the same, or I guess your answer before, either Red or Blue, because mm-hmm. time travel, space travel, all the travel.
Nifty.
Yeah, that's pretty rad. You know, they could, oh, someone comes up behind you, tries to hit you, and suddenly you're not there anymore. You've just traveled through time.
Yeah. Surprise.
Ta-da. I mean, there weren't a lot of options. Who do you want on your side in a fight?
I'd say go with Red, just because Red was a little more bloodthirsty.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
A little more aggressive, a little more fucked up.
Mask. Yeah.
Well, I guess I should might have been Red or Blue. I couldn't tell them apart sometimes, but it just seemed that Red was more in actual violent scenarios as opposed mm-hmm. to Blue was just kind of standing by, letting things mm-hmm. happen. Where Red was in the action, in the middle of the violence, like tearing things apart, murder and all that. Who would you cast for these characters or assign zodiacs?
All right, I did Zodiac and I'm not taking any questions. So it'll be red.
I will not elaborate.
Red, Capricorn, blue, Aquarius, no questions.
It's me.
It's you and you're the blue. You're the one that I actually liked.
I'm the quirky one.
The quirky one, the one who's more nature centric or whatever.
Why Capricorn? I'm not really familiar with Capricorn traits.
Honestly, I have said this every time, probably. I'm not good at remembering all the different things. So I just Google like who is the most protective, who's the most like that sort of thing. And I read like all the different descriptions and I was like, I feel like Capricorn is the one that's closest
Okay,
to
I can,
Red's
yeah.
vibe.
Protective, yeah.
Protective and like just kind of earthy and there for you and like, grounded. So
Yeah,
that's the vibe
for
I
sure.
got from Red. So I'd say Red, Capricorn, Blue, Aquarius. And then,
Yes.
just like you. So
My
that's good.
team.
Your team. Did you do cast or did you do Zodiac?
I cast.
Oh, perfect.
All
Okay. So
right.
we did the thing again.
We're so in sync.
Oh my God. Bye bye bye.
BSB for life.
Hell yeah.
My God. Okay, so there are two different castings. It could go either one. So the first that just the very first one that popped in my head, who could do these characters and the language, the prose justice? Blue Meryl Streep, which is I know it's like a weird choice, but I don't think they didn't really have ages. Like they were going all throughout time in different forms. It's like who is a strong actress that could really
Really
do
kill
some
it.
good, yeah, really do some good work with this character. So for Blue, I went with Meryl Streep, and for Red, I went with Viola Davis.
Oh, nice.
And I could totally see them just having really meaningful connection through letter. Like they could really play up the emotion. And I think visually, like how you said in the book, it happened so quick. That's a complaint for a lot of readers. I feel like their performances would be pretty nuanced and it would help with that if you were able to see it visually, micro expressions on faces and like.
Yeah, I could see that. And I think that that is the way that you make this into a show or a movie is
Yeah.
you show them feeling things, even though in the book you don't really
Yeah, it's
get
not
that
going to
because they don't
describe their
describe it.
face or like an eye twitch and,
When I see
yeah.
someone's eyes do something weird in a show, I'm like, that means something because it's
They
not
got
there for no
it.
reason.
Yeah. So those were the first that just very first just boom popped in my head. And I was like, they could do great work with this.
Yes,
And
I can
then
see that.
alternatively, Laura Linney for Blue from Ozarks, Laura Linney, and for Red, Angela Bassett.
I could see that.
But honestly, I feel like they're also interchangeable. You could take any four of these actresses and just swap them around, and they would still absolutely kill it.
I initially had imagined, younger actresses for this, but I like
I
the idea
always,
of them because they're such strong actors. Like,
yeah,
why
I always
not?
saw them as older. It was weird.
Interesting. That's cool.
I didn't actually ever see them as young, and it's probably because they have so much lived experience in
Throughout
different
the different
forms
years, yeah.
and
That
everything and
makes
all the
sense.
different threads. So I just kind of saw them as, older, more experienced, wiser. They've been around a lot longer. So in my mind, seeing them as older throughout the story, and then at the end of it, when Blue is essentially back in the pod, kind of like the rebirth, I was like, oh, this is okay.
It does make sense to me. So, yeah, I agree
Yeah.
with that.
Feel like if you had really well-known, strong, powerful actresses, like that just were amazing at their craft, that's the way you would want to go. And I feel like these four are they're all strong enough to do it. I
Yeah,
mean,
no, I
fuck, they
agree.
could just slap on different makeup and a wig. They could play every single character in the movie that if they were to make it. Like Meryl, Laura, Angela, Viola, like all of them. They could just all do it. What reality show would these characters be on?
So you always ask this question, and sometimes I'm like, I don't really know. This one, 100% The Circle, without a doubt,
Ooh, I
hundred
haven't
percent.
seen that.
It's back and forth, text only. You never see the person. You see like
Oh.
a picture of them, but you don't know if it's really them. Like a lot of people are catfishes. or catfish. What's the plural of catfish?
I think it's catfish.
Yeah, it's a very cool show. I highly recommend
okay.
it. I could see them being on it. First of all, it's about you have your social game, but also like some of them really connect on a legit deep level. They never see them, you know, they just connect over their words. And I think that would be 100% them. They would be on The Circle.
Yeah.
What about you?
That definitely, I could definitely see that. I'll have to watch The Circle. I'll add it to my rot material.
Yeah. What about you though? What reality show do you think these characters would be on? Because I'm sure it has to be a good one.
We all know what the challenge is. Yes. Real world. It started
the
real
challenge.
World road rules. And then it was real world. And then it was, oh God, what was it? Rookies versus veterans. There have been so many iterations of the challenge on MTV. It is probably, I think it's like, it has to be one of the longest running reality shows, like competitive reality shows. Okay. So they're on the challenge.
Okay.
On opposing teams.
Ooh. And then they fall in love secretly against all odds.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure during one of the seasons, aka threads of the challenge, this has probably happened. Like couples get split up and they're opposing each other, or they end up like falling for each other, like during the course of filming and
it has to have happened.
Yes, it has to. I stopped watching like about, I don't know, 15 years ago, but it's still going strong.
It is.
That's what we think. Let's see what some other people think. I've got some Goodreads reviews here. We're going to go low to high.
We're going to start where I am and we're going to get to where you are.
Tracy L gave it 1 star. This book made me feel really dumb. I don't think it was the book's fault. The combination of high science fiction with poetic literary fiction just didn't click together in my brain. There was never a point in this book where I knew what was going on. I just finished it and have no idea what happened in it.
Same.
Yeah, no, it's like I didn't really catch on until like the end. I got the gist though. I didn't get everything. Like I didn't get every nuance or anything like that. Like I was like, okay, I got the gist, got it locked in. Aaron gave it 1 star. Me. No one could ever make a story about two genetically engineered super soldiers fighting a time travel war boring. The authors. Hold our pretentious beverage.
Yeah.
That's a good
also
one.
Same.
Yes. Whitney A gave it 2 stars. The girls who get it, get it. And I was not one of those girls.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my gosh. It's another Elena. I had to read it real quick to make sure it wasn't your review. I was like, oh, shit. She gave it 2 stars and everything. Okay.
Oh, shit. Spoilers.
Another Elena. She's in a different thread.
Okay.
It's an Elena in a different thread.
Perfect.
Elena gave it 2 stars. I'm going to be honest. This is technically pretty well written, but lesbianically, the equivalent of 90s chocolate cookies made with applesauce and Splenda.
Agreed.
Are you sure you didn't write this?
I love that. I wish I had.
You know what? It is. You did. You did. In another thread.
In another thread.
In another time.
Yes.
In another place.
Another me. It's me after I heard that. I was like, I'm going to go write that same review.
Plagiarism.
You know what? It is what it is.
No. I'm just kidding. She wouldn't do that.
Never. I would never do that.
Anya S. gave it 3 stars. Did I understand a word of this? No. Did the sapphic yearning give me life? Yes. Even the good reviews, they're like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know, but it was great.
I'm living. I don't get it, but I'm living.
Love that for them. Hashtag it's WTF. Giving,
it's giving straight up what the fuck, but I'm living for it.
Gabby gave it 3 stars. Why does the last 10% exist? Because that's the only 10% Elena and I understood.
I like hit my frame on my wall next to my face because I was so shocked at that. I'm like, excuse me, I am... That's the only good part of the book. That's the jump scare, is me knocking something off my wall.
Salone gave it 4 stars. God, this feeling of a sapphic love encompassing the entire cosmos is transcendent.
All right.
Yeah. Katie gave it 4.5 stars. I hate this book, I say while sobbing and rating it 4.5 stars.
Well, if you get it, you get it, I guess.
It was a bit traumatic. Riley gave it 5 stars. Killing Eve, but they are time traveling pen pals. Have you seen Killing Eve?
No.
Oh, it's so good. Mina Reads gave it 5 stars. If you gave this book anything less than 5 stars, your third eye wasn't open wide enough.
Guess not. Guess not. Rude, but guess not.
I just took this as sarcasm. Like, oh,
Yeah, like
you didn't rate
pretentious.
this 5 stars. Your third eye isn't open all the way.
Yeah, maybe your aura is a little murky today or something. I don't know.
Dude, okay, am I the only person that is afraid of someone to tell me what my aura looks like? I'm like, oh my God, what if it's trash? What if it's just death and destruction? Like,
It's not gonna be
it's
trash.
rot. It's
I
giving rot.
My aura is giving rotting on a couch energy.
Rot is the callback joke in this episode.
There
There's
you
always
go.
one. This is my favorite review.
Okay.
All right, so Emma gave it 5 stars. I let a man I was seeing borrow my copy of this, and then I ghosted the man, and then I moved across the country, and now I don't have the book, and hardcover copies are so expensive. In conclusion, I'm retiring from dating.
Nothing to do with the book.
I
When it comes to ghosting, that's like a trigger of mine. Like anybody who just
Yeah.
stops talking to me for no reason and doesn't explain why, I'm like, what the
What's
fuck?
triggering
Like,
to me is when they ghost you and then a while later they try to come back and you're like, what? No.
you're like, I've moved on. Why are you
It's
coming into
like
my
you
world again?
ghosted me and now I ghost you trying to reconnect with me because no.
Ghost your ghost.
I see your ghost and I raise you another ghost. Big moment. How many and what kind of phallic symbol would you rate this book?
You done been new. I don't love this book. All right. I give it a 2 out of 5 cylindrically shaped brain implants. That's where we're at. 2 out of 5 penis shaped brain implants. That's what I rate this book. Two
Yes.
out of five. Maybe one
I
and a
am
half.
shocked.
Maybe
I
one and a
am
half even.
shocked, Elena.
You know what? I've been really respectful about it, Ashley. So
You could have gone like salty earth.
Ashley, what phallic symbol rating with my implant that's very important to this? How many implants would you give it?
All right. Well, I gave it 4 out of 5 cylindrically shaped brain implants.
Beautiful.
Obviously, I didn't understand everything that was going on, but by the end of it, when I was fully tuned in, I kind of backtracked over everything, not unlike Red going back and forth throughout time
That's fair.
to fix everything. And I was just like, oh, this is so meaningful. This is really lovely. This is a beautiful love story. Like it was a little convoluted in the beginning and everything. But after reading this, it left me feeling hopeful and nice. And I was like, okay, that turned out really well. I was worried for a while. And it was a very happy ending, and there are some lovely quotes, and I get where they're trying to go with it. Did I get every aspect of it? No. But this just left me feeling, aw, and it just felt really meaningful, and I really like that.
Well, good.
And now it is time for the bi-weekly boner. This week's boner is inspired from the source material. Are you ready?
I am so ready.
Okay. Purple prose stick.
Yes, perfect. That goes along. It's on
Yes.
theme. It works. It's not a cylindrically shaped brain implant, but you know.
I can't have it all. You
No,
can't have it
no.
all.
Can't win it all, can't have it all. No.
Okay, in a sentence. This book whacked us all over the head with its very large purple prose stick.
I agree with that. That's a
Yeah.
good way to use it. And it actually did hit me in the face.
Yes, it just wanted to beat
Metaphorically.
us down and not
Yeah.
in a great way. No, it's just like, I'm going to beat you to death. Like, I'm going to beat you to death with this purple prose stick. I am poetic. Oh, that was my phone.
Oh, geez.
Don't mind me. I'm just throwing shit all over the place.
Throwing cats, throwing paper.
That's the peppy petunia for this week. Let's move on to the question and poll.
What's the poll?
I guess. I mean, the poll could be, which character do you relate to more, red or blue?
And we already know I relate to blue. What about you?
I think I'd say blue.
Mm-hmm.
And what should our question be?
Did you understand this fucking book?
Did you understand anything in this book at all?
Yeah, by percentage. How much do you understand?
Percentage of how much of this book you understood.
Yeah, I would say 30%.
I'd say, like, I don't know, 60, 75.
All right. That works.
After I got to the end and put some pieces together, and I was like, oh, it's all connected. Elena, we did it.
We did it.
This is your last episode of season 3.
And ever. My last episode ever.
What?
You're not going to see your reaction.
What do you mean? You're not coming back?
Just kidding. Just kidding.
We can't agree on the last bajillion books we've read. You're never coming back.
I'm never coming back because, well, this book was not for me and I'm just out now. Goodbye.
Thanks for coming back.
It was my pleasure. You know, I love to do this.
May or may not see you in season 4.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, roll the dice. This is coming out on my birthday. So, you know.
Happy birthday.
Oh my God, thank you. I'm an old woman now.
Join me back here in 2 weeks for our final read of season 3, To Sir Philip with Love by Julia Quinn, aka Bridgerton number 5.
And as the prophets say, and remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.
Plural, all of them.
Don't let any of those goddamn dicks get you down, Ashley.
God damn it. Not a one. Toodles.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or liking, subscribing, and following on whatever platform you're listening on. Not enough action for you? You can follow Turgid Tomes Podcast on Instagram, like the Facebook page, or join the Goodreads group where you can chat with other listeners, lurk tawdry reviews, and get a heads up on what we're reading and drinking. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can send it to turgidtomes@gmail.com. And last but not least, remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.